Welcome to the Essential Church Podcast. Our goal is to strengthen and equip church and ministry leaders just like you through practical and theological discussions about some of the most pressing and important issues facing the local church today. We feature conversations with members of our team here at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, as well as interviews with authors and thinkers from around the world. You can follow the essential.church on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Watch episodes on our YouTube channel and also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes and Spotify, where you'll find a full archive of previous conversations. And now, here is this week's episode of the Essential Church Podcast.
Welcome to this episode of the Essential Church Podcast, an ongoing conversation about some of the most important issues facing the local church today. I'm your host, Andrew Arndt, and today I want to take you to a conversation that we had not long ago with Pastor Brady, Pastor Jason, and Pastor Daniel on what does it take to develop the young preachers and teachers, and not just the young ones, but really the up-and-coming or underdeveloped preachers and teachers on our staff. As we know, Sunday is always coming, and sometimes the urgency of Sunday's coming means that we're not doing a good job paying attention to the long game of developing the gifts that the Spirit has placed in our midst. And so we've developed something here at New Life Church, a little preacher's cohort that we spend some time talking about today, as well as the larger issue of how pastors can intentionally develop the gifts that the Spirit has placed in our midst. It was a great discussion, and without further commentary from me, here's to the conversation. Well, guys, in the urgency to make sure that Sunday is covered every single week, sometimes one of the things that we neglect in our churches is really being intentional about the development of the younger preachers and teachers, the up-and-coming preachers and teachers on our staff. And so I want to spend some time today talking about that, how we think about the development of preachers and teachers. Daniel, and I'll boot it to you first. You proposed an initiative in our church here a little bit more than a year ago that we're just starting now to see it's beginning to bear a little bit of fruit. So take us into what that initiative was and kind of what your thinking was around it.
We launched a preaching cohort just over a year ago with our staff, and I started noticing these young ones who had this desire to, that, you know, God's given me this word and I feel like I'm supposed to proclaim it, and how do I do it?
Yeah.
I don't know what this thing is, and I can go on YouTube and I can watch the fiery preachers out there and kind of plug and play that formula, but it doesn't really fit. It's kind of Saul's armor for me. So how do I discover my voice? How do I learn to study the Word of God? What is a sermon anyway? Mm-hmm. And so we got together a team of folks around here and we started working on that. And Pastor Brady years ago created this teaching team opportunity here. And we have 8 congregations in Colorado Springs all over our city, and they're all live preaching. And that's a unique model. Pastor Brady, we've got the technology to simulcast in. We could have done that, and Brady could have had 8 different people at 8 different places standing up and doing announcements and throwing it to his video, and that would have been fine. Mm-hmm. That's being done. But Pastor Brady had this conviction that, no, we need to create incubators so that 20 years from now, we don't just have one person telling the good news to Colorado Springs with a bunch of people doing announcements, but we have 25 people who've been trained up. And you look at Jesus, he calls 12, and then he calls 70 or 72. And then at his ascension, there's 500 there, and he says, you go. Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Brady, what I love about him is he's a guy who, when he sees Jesus, he's going to go, you gave me 5, but here's 10. Mm. And I didn't just, you know, bury the 5 or just work with what I had. And so we feel like our job is to create lots of opportunities, create reps for people to practice their craft, to get their 10,000 hours, to learn. So we're teaching 2 or 3 times a year, doing a half day of teaching. And then yesterday we had 3 people stand up and preach, and they tore the house down. They were scared. They were nervous. They, you know, one guy goes, hey, can I go? I don't want to go first. Can I go second? You know, can we make someone else go? And I said, no, stay to it, man. You got this. And so they preached a 7-minute sermonette. And then we gave them 20 minutes of encouragement and feedback and body posture and tone of voice and cadence. And, you know, I said one time, you got to a really intense part of the text and you put your hands in your pocket and you kind of leaned over. That doesn't communicate, doesn't match up with the text. Mm-hmm. So our conviction is that the Word of God has to go, but we've got to train up lots of people to go and tell the good news of Jesus.
I love it that, you know, we sometimes, I think in a lot of churches, we depend on denominational seminaries to do that work for us, when actually that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can learn in the classroom, and we believe in good hermeneutics and good homiletics. We believe in all those things, and we encourage people to get formal education. Mm-hmm. But it's not until you're in the soil of the local congregation that you really develop your voice in preaching and teaching.
Right.
It's not until you know the people in front of you that you can really develop. And what I love about this, Daniel, is that you've been intentional, and you've really cast a wide net to our people. You didn't say, I see preaching on you, so you can come to this class. What you said was, who's out there among you? Because what I found is we're probably going to be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about the Bible stories of surprises when people that we did not think would be good communicators turned out to be the one God used.
Exactly.
Moses.
Right.
David was the one out on the backside of the desert tending his father's sheep, and nobody would have picked him, the one with ruddy complexion.
Right. Yeah.
So the Bible is just full of stories of God putting his hand on people, and it was the prophets and the church's responsibility to recognize that and to call that out of them. And Daniel, I just love that. So share a story of something that surprised you, of a person that surprised you, without naming names. But I just want to encourage pastors, there's probably more preachers and teachers in your churches than you think.
Yeah. Well, we invited a girl yesterday to the cohort, and she doesn't have a public teaching role, but she's reached out to Andrew, and she said, I just feel like I got this gift on me, and what do I do with it? And pay attention to people who don't know what to do with the thing that God has put on them. They're kind of curious. They're they're asking questions. And so Andrew said, hey, why don't you read this? And why don't you send me a little talk that you've done? And she got up yesterday. She's early 50s. She told the story in her 7-minute sermonette of laying in bed at night at 2 a.m. She's scrolling through her phone, can't sleep. And all of a sudden on Twitter, she sees her son's battleship in North Korea trending on Twitter. Her son is over against the shores of North Korea, and all of a sudden at 2 a.m. she sees hashtag and the name of his ship, and she freaks out. Her husband's totally asleep, and she clicks on it, and it's heating up. There's a nuclear threat. Something's going down, and she stands up at 2 a.m. She's pacing her room. She's afraid out of her mind. And she's got the whole room in the palm of her hand.
I want you to finish the story. Please finish the story.
And she said, all I could hear was Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not be in want.
Yeah.
And she starts working that theme and that riff. And I was praying, but really it was just anxiety, and I was tagging the name of Jesus on it.
Yeah.
And my husband's asleep, and I'm so mad at him, but all I can hear is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And she, by the end of that thing, she turns it to people, and she says, now, what's the thing that's eating you up at night? And what's the thing that's causing you to lose sleep? And what's the thing? And she says, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. And the room totally tilted. And this is a woman who, when she said amen, she was kind of like, did it work?
Was that good?
And the whole room was like, you better say that. So we were able to praise her, to cheer her on, to say, keep going. And now in the women's ministry, they're creating in quarterly opportunities for people, volunteers, that the gift of God is on them to come up and preach.
Yep.
And then they'll celebrate them, give them good feedback. So the bottom line is, all of us can create these incubators to nurture the gift of proclamation, but it doesn't happen on accident.
We're kind of saying it without saying it, but I'd love for us to just tease out as clearly as we possibly can, what are the most important elements of the development of young preachers and teachers? Like, what do they need? Folks that have an up-and-coming gift, what are the things that they need to develop right in that gift before we throw them up on the big stage?
Well, they need two things. They need opportunity, and they need honest feedback. And that's the soil that you start with. So opportunity, you got to give them a chance to mess up. Think about when I was a young pastor, I didn't really have a lot of chances to go preach. So this guy walked up to me and said, hey, I heard you want to preach. I said, sure. And he said, well, I have a truck stop ministry. And there's a chapel. There was a big truck stop outside of Shreveport, Louisiana on I-20. And they have a little chapel. And he said, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., a group of truckers go out and hand out flyers to all the truckers. And whoever shows up, you preach. Well, it was awful. I mean, because this is a true story. The first time I showed up there at this truck stop, I walked into the chapel. They had porn playing.
Oh my god!
There was about four or five old truckers in there watching porn, and I had to stop the porn video and announce to them, "Hey, at 10 a.m., I hate to
thus saith the Lord.
Let me interrupt
you. We're going to have a church service in here
to preach the gospel to you."
To my surprise, the same four truckers that were watching the porn video, I turned it off at 10 a.m. No music, nothing. I stood and preached out of the book of Luke or somewhere. They all stood there and listened to a half hour. So that's where I cut my teeth.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is I got no feedback.
Yeah.
But let me say this to you young ones watching. Do not despise the days of small beginnings.
True. Yeah.
You have to take every opportunity. Please listen to me. Say yes to every opportunity. Nothing is below you. Go teach to the third grade left-handed, redheaded girls in their small group and just call them to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. There are no throwaway opportunities, and every single opportunity you can get better. So we've got to create platforms for people and incubators, but you've got to be able to say yes to an opportunity that may not be your ideal end game.
And it's maybe like a musician getting started. Like if you can learn to play in the clubs and the bars and all of that stuff in some of those more difficult places, you'll actually get good pretty fast. And then when you're on the big stage with the lights and all of the support, you'll actually find that it's easier than if you just got thrown up there. It's say yes. I remember years ago feeling that emerging call to preach and teach, and I was wanting for opportunities. And so I just said to the Lord, "Lord, you have my yes. You take this and put it in your back pocket. Any opportunity that comes up, I don't care how lowly or weird or off to the side it feels like to me, I'm saying yes to it because I've like pre-decided that." And it was so fast. All of a sudden, all these opportunities came up. All of that stuff, it helps you develop.
So opportunities and feedback, but also resources. And we've given people books. We said, look, before you can participate in this, you need to read these two books on preaching.
Yeah.
One of them's super small. Another one's by Tim Keller, really helpful book on preaching. But a lot of times people don't want to do the work. They just want to get up and extemporaneously feel it. No, this is a craft.
Yes.
And so we're going to put you in front of the great writers and the great thinkers of this craft, and you're going to be disciplined under their training and show us that you're willing to do the work to grow into the opportunity.
One of my most fun stories is the story Malcolm Gladwell talks about the Beatles. So when the Beatles were a young band, they were terrible. They were just not very good musicians. And they said the reason they became a great band is they had this gig in a bar in Liverpool, and the owner of the bar required them to play eight hours a day. And for an entire year before they came to America and barnstormed America and became world famous, they had to play in a bar in Liverpool eight hours a day for a year. And it was said it was during that time that the Beatles became really good musicians and they learned to sing. And I just think the preachers, we are looking for the instant success way too often instead of putting in the grind, the work, the hard work of getting better requires a lot of hours.
Brady, you talk about it takes 200 sermons to write a good one. Talk to us about that.
Oh, my gosh. For sure. And I think at least 100.
Yeah.
I think about 100 times that you have stood in front of the text, you've come up with an outline, and then you've taken that and stood in front of a congregation or a group of people. Do that 100 times, and you'll. I think at that point, you'll begin to find your voice. And I think at 200, maybe.
Maybe.
And then at 200 messages, you should be able to turn the corner and realize who you are and who you're not and be comfortable in your skin. But that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. I feel like at 200 sermons, my preaching started to go from very bad to just bad.
Tolerable.
We're still working. Yes, tolerable. Yeah. I guess we're still working on making the transition into good, you know?
Yeah, it became less mimicky over time, right? Like, initially, you're just like trying on things like, oh, I'm going to try to sound. I tried to sound like Rod Parsley for a while.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hey. Awful. And, you know, just trying on these different. It's like, ah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Tried to sound like my pastor for a while. And then eventually you sort of stumbled into, no, this is who I am. And you find that voice, and then you find out who the people are. And you're like, oh, okay, now, and then you start working on the craft of knowing, like, there's always more to work on and to learn, and you don't ever get to a place where feedback is no longer important.
No.
You continue to invite it, either from yourself or from others.
Let's talk about this. Every single week, we have the first meeting of our week, Tuesday morning at 8:30, the sermon planning meeting, and Pastor Brady hosts that in his office. And what we do first is we review the previous Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we go through the elements of the services at all of our congregations and what worked and where did we leave some meat on the bone? What could we have done better? You know, gosh, when I did that, and oh, man, this really worked. Mm-hmm. So we review, and that's a vulnerable spot. Mm-hmm. So I think the leader of the room has got to set the tone that it's safe to share. And Pastor Brady will say, now tell me, what did you think about this? And did that work? And mm-hmm. and how was my cadence? And was I yelling too much? And so when he leads with that kind of openness mm-hmm. and vulnerability, everyone can be honest. Mm-hmm. So create a room where you can review the work that has been done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we pivot the meeting to preview the weekend that's coming. And he'll pass out his notes. Here's what I'm thinking. What do you guys see? Mm-hmm. What are you praying about? And what's on your heart? What's going on in our nation? What's going on in our congregation? Mm-hmm. So that review preview mm-hmm. Routine is really helpful to both get better and then to plan to get better in the coming week.
It seems like that would be a good first place too for pastors to start if they're thinking about developing the preachers and teachers on their team is mm-hmm. just create a space where you can actually be open and vulnerable about yeah. your own process
yes.
and then invite them into that. Yep. I think that's a really great, that's what you've done.
Yeah. Well, and surround yourself with multi-generational voices,
yeah.
Multi-ethnic and multi-generational yep. and a diverse, and gender, yeah. Different mm-hmm. genders, right? So men and women, young and old, mm-hmm. and making sure, I know as a 54-year-old pastor, that it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to reach 20-year-olds. I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to surround myself with more of those voices, mm-hmm. listening to their stories, understanding their concerns, because it's really easy for me to reach 60-year-olds
right.
and to reach 50-year-olds, empty mm-hmm. nesters. That's in my sweet spot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But being aware of who you're not capable of reaching mm-hmm. will then prompt you to put those particular group of people around you.
Yes.
Like, you know, shoring up your weaknesses and recognizing your strengths mm-hmm. is really important for a pastor, especially if you're going to be relevant mm-hmm. as you get older.
Mm-hmm. And create opportunities, layers of opportunities. So yeah. it doesn't have to be, if we're going to train up preachers, we got to give them 30-minute sermon day one. Pastor Brady started giving away little offering slots.
Yeah.
And if you can't manage 2 minutes,
yeah.
you can't manage 30.
Yeah,
exactly.
whoever's been faithful with a little, I will make you ruler over more.
Yeah.
And so if you can, pastors, create opportunities for folks that you see the hand of God on, say, hey, I've got a 90-second slot for you, and I want you to come lead this, and let's practice it, mm-hmm. and then go for it, go be yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then give them good feedback afterwards, pat them on the back, and help them tighten up. But year after year after year of hosting and being fruitful with the moments that you've been entrusted with, then that 20-minute slot's going to open up. And you're going to get that Sunday after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. you know, or that Sunday after Christmas, or that moment where pastor's going to say, now's your time to really go for it. So think about layers of opportunities mm-hmm. that you can create so that people can work their way up into the big moment.
And I think it's important to help young communicators identify whether or not they lead from their head or their heart. Mm-hmm. A lot of young mm-hmm. communicators, they read a multitude of books, and when they get up, it feels like a classroom.
Mm.
So for that particular group of young communicators, I tell them, hey, smile, be joyful, have some fun. What mm-hmm. you said was good, but mm-hmm. it was hard to listen to.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
not, add some sugar to your cough syrup.
Yeah.
You know, make it a little more palatable for everyone.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of young communicators who are watching all the greatest hits on YouTube, and they really have nothing to say, but they say it in an amazing way.
Yeah.
And I say to them, hey, that was yeah. great. A lot of charm, a lot yeah. of enthusiasm. I just don't have any idea what you just said. And it wasn't applicable to the text. It did not help people grow into the likeness of Jesus, but I loved your enthusiasm.
Right.
And I loved your charm. Yeah. And I loved... So, Don't shame either group.
Yeah.
Just help both groups realize that it's a combination of
yeah.
of being enjoyable, being
yes.
fun,
yeah.
being winsome, and having something to say
yeah.
that makes the great preachers.
Yeah, there's a sense of like knowing what you're working with. Like mm-hmm. this is who God made me. This is what I'm naturally good at, mm-hmm. and know what you need to work on.
Yes.
And so I listened to Daniel to learn how to tell a really good story,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to Andrew to hear like how do I get poetic nuance and beauty mm-hmm. and those things into sermons. I listened to Pastor Brady about how do I speak directly to yeah. the congregation with a prophetic voice and call them into Christ and how to tell a good joke.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
are things that I'm not naturally mm-hmm. good at. Like my training is in ancient Near Eastern cultures. Who cares? but I have to work with that. That's who I am.
Exactly.
But I have to add also from other people.
I actually told a young communicator recently, I said, you need to buy and download all of the Jim Gaffigan Netflix. Go on Netflix and listen to all the Jim Gaffigan 1 hour specials and figure out how to tell a joke. I said, your problem is not theology and content. You're just not much fun to listen to. Now, I didn't say it that harshly.
Sure.
But I said, listen to a good joke every once in a while. Learn how to read the room.
So good.
Smile.
So good.
And Pastor Bray, you've been so good at giving us that feedback. I remember times in that preview meeting where you said, guys, I think we're getting teaching heavy at this point, and we need to call people to decisions for Christ.
Yes.
And those have been good challenges for us.
Yeah.
Or you've said, I think we need to look at the camera more. We need to remember right now during COVID, all these people are watching online, work on this, and it's been so helpful.
Iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
A multitude of counselors, there is victory.
Yep.
Yeah. Daniel, give us a closing thought on developing young preachers and teachers.
Help people understand that preaching is a speech act. And so to Brady's point, it's got to be able to be listened to and enjoyed. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be a nice word, but a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And so listen to the great storytellers, listen to the great writers, listen to Aaron Sorkin. I mean, the guy can write a script all day long. So if we've got the greatest story that's ever been told, we ought to learn how to tell it really beautifully. So I can't stand listening to someone who's handling the greatest story ever told in a slipshod way.
Yeah.
It's just sloppy. So let's try to match up our craft with the call, with the great content we've been given. So spend your life in words. Spend your life caring about the story. And take every opportunity given to you and trust that as you're faithful with a little, God will make you ruler over much.